This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. I actually had to do this twice today because I whacked the windshield again when I was putting the windshield down, and I thought, you know, you might as well just shut that off and start again. There is no point in whacking the windshield every time. Right now, though, I am... Ah, there they are. I was looking for my glasses. So, all is well. All is well. It's been a good week. It sounds like I need to put a little more power steering fluid in my car, but I will get that done when I get home. It's been a good week. We've been able to accomplish some stuff. We've been working on an event registration website for the last couple of months, and we think we're live with that now. We will find out soon as people start coming in. We'll see if we actually have all our ducks in a row. One of the advantages of this new site is that we will be able to project forward accurately as to who should be coming and accurately predict what their costs are going to be ahead of time. So when they come to this registration site, they'll be able to just see the actual costs right there for when they click the button. So hopefully it won't come as a surprise as it has in the past. So that's all good. And I was able to get some other little side projects going while we were working on that. Next week, I would imagine that we'll have cleanup things to do, because this is the first time we've actually tried to use this new site, and there is always dust in the corners when you launch a new site. So it's always very, very exciting. So that's fine. I am writing on book 21. The beta copies for book 20 hopefully will be in this weekend. I can get them packaged and sent off, and then I can focus for real on writing book 21, the first half of book 21. But I'm off to the start. I'm off to a good start. I think we're fine. I know kind of some of what maybe should happen in this book, but I don't really know that much. I've got kind of an initial story that we'll see where that goes. And I think I know that something else important, there are other important things that are going to help happen in this book and kind of get us set up for the next book, which I know what the big thing is in the next book. The phrase of the poem for book 21 is, "And what rough beast." And so I've got plenty I can write on that. And the phrase for book 22 is, "The hour come round at last." And so I've had for a long time what is supposed to be happening in book 22. So that's good. I got kind of that thing. And then basically the last two books have got to be some big giant arc that wraps everything up. And obviously I have ideas as to what should happen there, because you really have to know where the whole thing is going before you get started. Otherwise you wander and it becomes aimless, i.e. the television series Lost. So the writing is going fine. I was able to get 10,000 words done last week, which was a bonus week. So I started this week actually ahead 10,000 words, quickly lost some of that this week because last Sunday obviously was Easter. And we actually had two services on Easter. And so that threw everything late by the time we got out of the second service, because I ran sound for both of them. And then we had the family over to the house for dinner. And by the time we got that all done, kind of got everything squared away and cleaned up, I sat down to start to write, and it was... Hold on, someone's coming. Okay. By the time I actually got sat down to write, it was 4:30. And I'm working on the Bugs Bunny costume at this point, so I really needed to kick off, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night so I could work on that some more. So it wasn't great. By the time I got the 2,500 words edited that I had written on Saturday, I was done. So I've been 3,000 words down. I'm going to go get caught up on some of that this evening because I don't have small groups coming to the house tonight. So I get caught up on some of that this evening, but I don't expect to get caught all the way up. If I lose 3,000 words in a 10,000 word week, there's just no recovering from that. But that's okay. We're a little bit ahead and, you know, it'll be fine. It will be fun. And I've got lots of things to say. So writing is going good. This is always that moment when you look back on what I wrote in book 20, and some of it's a little raw and some of it's a little gritty and grimy, and you think, was it too much? We'll find out. But it's all in there for a reason, so I think we'll be fine. In terms of costumes are going fine. I'm making progress on Bugs Bunny tuxedo coat, although I have some gaps in my knowledge as to how this is all going to work out, but we're just going to wander forward and figure it out. So it'll be fine. But I've gotten most of the elemental pieces built for the coat, at least the difficult ones and time-consuming ones. There are flat pieces that we're going to do that's easy, those can go together really quick. But most of the elemental pieces I have, as it turns out, I may need a few more now that I'm starting to do some assembly. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure out what needs to happen. And there's a few structural things that I need to get figured out. But you know what? It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Step at a time, step at a time, step at a time, as always. So costumes are good, and writing is good, and work is good, and family is good. We are making some decisions that, thankfully, in this case, I am just support on these decisions. It's really going to come down to Lynette and her brother and her mom talking through what needs to happen, when it needs to happen. And we'll just see kind of what that's going to look like. So I think there is a acknowledgement that at this point that Nana probably can't live on her own anymore. And so we're just talking through what other options there are there. And we have several. And it's just a matter of talking through those and finding out what makes the most sense to everyone. So I expect those discussions to be happening over the next few weeks, and that will probably get settled in the next couple of weeks. And then, of course, if we go with something like assisted living type situation, it's going to potentially take some time for a room to open up, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's just step at a time, and we are at that point of life, and God is good, and life moves forward. So that's good. Last week, I did talk somewhat extemporaneously without notes, having listened to Jordan Peterson's discussion with Brent Weinstein about the Darien Gap, and then moving on to knowledge and wisdom and spiritual traditions, which I thought was a fascinating discussion in terms of Jordan Peterson and Brent Weinstein having a discussion about those things. Obviously, Jordan Peterson has been on a path and on a trail of discovery, where he has substantially leaned into the Christian belief system and has been studying. And in fact, he not only did a series on Genesis in the past, he not only has concluded in recent years a group discussion on Exodus. Apparently, in either April or May, they are going to be filming another group discussion on the Gospels. And I think that's going to be just fascinating. Because by now, Jordan Peterson is often referring to the Bible, Old Testament, and Jesus, and the parables that Jesus spoke, and pulling in meaning from these parables of, you know, basic, profound, fundamental, foundational truths of life as illustrated in the parables, which is really interesting. One moment, I'm getting my mail. Such as it is, one piece of mail, because people are mailing things less and less these days. So it's really interesting to hear Jordan Peterson talk about these things and to freely talk about these things with people that you would not expect him to be free to talk to people about. We as Christians, perhaps because we have lived through enough negative responses when we try to share anything about the Gospels, perhaps there's a branch in the road here that needs to be moved out of the way, so I'm moving it. Perhaps we as Christians have encountered enough opposition when trying to talk about the Gospels and parables and all of those things. It's quite possible that we have then developed a habit of shying away from direct references, and we just try to keep things kind of generic, you know, get the principles in there, but keep things generic and don't necessarily say, well, Jesus said, you know. But Jordan Peterson, in his approach, as he's talking to his buddies about these things, not only says, well, Jesus said, he then goes on to illustrate how those things, in fact, discuss really important psychological principles, and that they are dead on. And there are lots of YouTube videos of Jordan Peterson doing this with various people. And in fact, there was a really interesting YouTube video that I had seen when Jordan Peterson was talking with Bill Maher on one of his podcasts. He was on the Bill Maher podcast, and they got to talk, you know, and Bill Maher was kind of poo-pooing all the stories and, you know, silly stories and things like, well, you know, was he really in the belly of the whale? And Jordan Peterson takes off. He said, well, let's talk about that story. And he brings all his psychological principles into it and shows that how, you know, this, that, and the other. And Bill Maher is just kind of staring at him because he doesn't quite know what to say. And then I think later I heard Bill Maher talking to another guest and mentioning the fact that he had this experience with Jordan Peterson. He said, you know, you look at someone like Jordan Peterson, he reads those old stories that we just look and think, oh, yeah, whatever. And he said, and then he starts talking about them and you realize that, you know, there are pretty some profound psychological principles in these stories. And, you know, so it's just interesting to hear, you know, even people like Bill Maher saying, okay, well, I can see how that story has value if you were smart enough to interpret it that way. And of course, Jordan Peterson, his response to that type of response is to say, it doesn't matter whether the hearer of the story consciously understands all these relationships or not. The power of story is that it can translate these concepts to your subconscious. Sorry, we'll blow my nose there a second. To your subconscious, and this is the purpose of story. That it can move truths into your lives without even being aware of it. And in the olden days, when Christians were more concerned about what they were watching on TV and social media and all those types of things, this is one of the claims that we would make. We would say, yeah, you got to be careful what you're watching, because you may think you're just looking at a story, but your mind is absorbing all the philosophy around that story that is just permeated through that story because of how characters are interacting with each other, because of the general environment that they're interacting with. That there is this philosophy of when you look at the characters and what characters are put forward as heroes and what characters are put forward as villains and losers and winners, all that sort of thing. And there was always a lot of truth to that. And so it's interesting to see that being told from the Judeo-Christian ethics viewpoint now. But what I didn't talk about last week on the Jordan Peterson and Brent Weinstein discussion was that Jordan Peterson does a thing where he interviews someone for a couple of hours. That gets put on YouTube. And then he spends another half hour, 45 minutes talking to them about some other thing or sometimes the same thing. And I hadn't listened to that second half yet because we subscribe to Daily Wire because I think they're doing a great thing. But they actually went on and talked more about Brent Weinstein's idea of, bearing in mind that Brent Weinstein is not necessarily a believer, of how do you classify the mystical experiences, the spiritual experiences, how do you classify them in terms of staying consistent, but then at the same time leaving the door open to having some diversity or having some experimentation. And as I mentioned last week, Brent Weinstein categorizes those two camps as the sacred, which is the foundational that has to remain intact, and the shamanic, which is the area of experimentation. And that's a perfectly decent way to classify these type of things. So they talked about that a little bit more. And it was interesting because Jordan Peterson basically through the entire half hour was quoting scriptures, quoting things from the Bible, and at times saying things that Brent didn't understand how they would tie in. And then Brent Weinstein would say, tell me about it, you know, and he was very open to hearing Jordan's opinion on these things. And then when Jordan Peterson would actually talk about them, you know, Brent Weinstein would nod. And it was really fascinating to watch these two thinkers affirming what has been the Christian tradition for thousands of years. And then, of course, you have to ask yourself, where did all this wisdom come from that these thinkers in the 21st century are now saying is worthwhile, even though it's thousands of years old? That's fascinating. So I'll just run through, some of the things that they talked about that were interesting ideas. So when Brent Weinstein was talking about the sacred and the shamanic, Jordan Peterson's response to that was, that reflects the trilogy and the activities of the trilogy, because in Jordan Peterson's mind, the Father, God the Father, is considered the foundation. So that would be the sacred, that he represents those things that are unchangeable. That's the Father. But the Son, the Logos, represents those things that are the experimental, not really experimental, but it is those things that are the variable. They are the growing. They are the new ways of doing things. You know, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it and bring in a new era. And so that was kind of an interesting correspondent. Brent Weinstein also said something that was pretty interesting. I don't know if I agree it. I don't know if I disagree, but he was saying that consciousness, that he's always felt like consciousness was not necessarily simply limited to the individual, but in fact, it is a larger collection out of which the individual is manifested, and that consciousness is really packets of exchange. That consciousness and this group consciousness and our individual consciousness is what allows us to communicate with each other and trade off ideas with each other and take an idea that maybe we couldn't bring to fruition on ourselves, but hand it off to someone else and leverage their abilities to come in and work on that idea. And it's the whole idea of us, you know, working together, coming together, using a multiplicity of minds to solve problems. And so that was pretty interesting concept. What was also interesting is Jordan Peterson started talking about the sword that is stationed with the cherubim after Adam and Eve fall. So after Adam and Eve are tempted, they're cast out of the garden, and there's two powerful beings that are placed at the entrance, and there is a sword that turns every which way that is on fire and cuts to pieces anything that approaches. And Jordan Peterson was talking about the idea there is that for paradise to be protected, you have to have something that is evaluating everything that approaches paradise, because you don't want corruption to come into paradise, because that corruption will destroy paradise. So that was an interesting idea there. What else did they talk about? They talked about structure and how that knowledge isn't the same as a functional navigational tool. So Brent Weinstein had led this off by saying, you know, in these times, people feel compelled to force you to change your model of the universe. He said, but your model of the universe is not just knowledge. It's not just facts. Your knowledge of the universe is how you navigate the world. And you have chosen the things that make you successful. And so he said, I don't owe anything to anyone to modify my model of the universe. And I certainly don't have to do it if it cannot be shown to be that modifying my model of the universe in the way that I'm being asked to do will lead to a model that is more successful than the success I have already achieved with the model that I have. And if you're going to force people to modify their model of the universe, that's tyranny. You know, people should have the right to choose what that model look like. So those were all interesting things. What else? One of the things that Brent Weinstein said that I thought was interesting. Well, he said, we have this odd feature of doing science. And that is, we tell people, well, you come up with a hypothesis and then you test it and then you see whether the evidence supports your hypothesis. All well and good. He said, but no one ever talks about where the original hypothesis come from in the first place. Which to me, that's like, well, that's easy. That's a whisper. Jesus is whispering to us. That's what's going on there. And the point that Brent Weinstein was making is that the only time he's come to really valid hypothesis is when he's had a chance to just let his mind run and just go in all kinds of crazy ideas that he would never suggest as a hypothesis, but something in there triggers something that triggers something else, and then he actually comes up with something that's useful. So that was fun, and that was interesting. And then they got talking about, you know, they were returning back into this idea of the importance of sharing your resources with others, because as you do that, the sum becomes the whole, the sum of the whole becomes greater than the individual parts. That there is something that's happening in that that is amazing. And so that was fun. And it was fun because at that point, you know, Jordan Peterson just matter-of-factly says, well, that's the miracle of the loaves and fishes. And you can see Brent Weinstein like, what? And so he says, so tell me about it. And Jordan Peterson obviously explained that the miracle of the loaves and fishes is that you start out with a very small thing that this boy has, but when it is brought and when it is shared and when it is given to someone with creative potential, that thing that is limited and finite begins to expand. And so they were using that as an analogy of someone coming up with something simple, maybe not having the capacity to work out all the details of this new business venture or this new idea. But then as they involved others, as they break that apart and share it with others, that it keeps multiplying. So, you know, a lot of interesting ideas, but again, it was just really fascinating to hear Jordan Peterson over and over and over pull back into biblical stories and show that the biblical stories had that nugget in them for thousands of years. So at this point, I think Jordan Peterson has his book, new book, roughed in enough. It's called We Who Wrestle With God, that in his later podcasts, he has been saying, well, I'll send you a copy of my book, you know, for people to read. And so that book's going to be interesting to see when it comes out. Probably get it on audio tape and listen to it. But lots of fascinating things happening. And lots of interesting things pulling in lots of different directions. And it's going to be something to watch all this come together. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.